Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 18 of the Football Podcast with Wasim Perkar. I've been away for almost 3 weeks, for which I must apologize. I was battling a cold, which became a flu, and which then transpired to become a week of bronchitis. And then even after I cleared the bronchitis, you know how sometimes, I'm sure many of you have gone through this, there's the remnant of an irritating cough that stays with you for a few days. So I just couldn't do justice. I couldn't record properly because my voice wasn't sounding good, and truth be told, I'm probably still not at an absolute 100%, but I decided to do an episode today on a Friday. Generally, doing one on a Friday doesn't make sense because there's so much football on the weekend, but I just wanted to get back into the habit of it because I tried recording on Wednesday and Thursday, and I found myself in that phase where I was starting to overthink it again, looking at it from a perfectionist standpoint, and my big fear was then just not doing the podcast. And I thought if I get it going at least on a Friday, then next week I can return back to a more regular sequence. So while I've been away, we've missed out on a lot of analysis on this podcast because I didn't give my reactions to one of the best El Clasicos in recent times. Spurs keeping Chelsea honest in the Premier League. There was a great DFB Pokal semi-final between Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. I didn't get to preview in detail the Champions League and Europa League semi-finals, the race for fourth in the Premier League. Just unfortunately wasn't able to update you guys. I started getting better, I was thinking of things to talk about, and I just thought on today's episode, I'll quickly provide my reflections on the Champions League and Europa League semi-finals. And of course, this weekend, the probability is quite high. There'll be a few coronations in the different leagues, most likely in the Premier League, in the Portuguese League, possibly even in the Italian and Spanish leagues. So I thought I'll just do a quick preview of the matches this weekend that are decisive in some title races, so-called, obviously, because in many leagues this season, the front runners have led for a long time and deservedly so. But to get things started, let's talk about the European semifinals that finished this week. What happens when the irresistible force takes on the immovable object? That's what we are going to find out when Real Madrid and Juventus play in the Champions League final on June 3rd in Cardiff. And I have to say right off the top, I think this is a final that this season's competition absolutely deserves. The two best teams in the competition are going to go head-to-head, and I expect a cracking final. But I'll leave my analysis and thoughts for the final for later. We've still got about 21 days until then. A lot can happen before then. I'm hoping to get some interviews with both Juventus reporters and Real Madrid reporters before the final and make a nice preview episode in the week leading up to the big game. But for now, I just wanted to provide my thoughts on the semifinals. And I think both Max Allegri and Zinedine Zidane deserve a lot of credit. First of all, for Allegri, you know, it would be so easy to be comfortable in just keeping Juventus's methodology as is because it's so successful and it's so solid. But to go ahead and improve on a successful methodology really speaks to Allegri's cerebralism and his intelligence and desire and ambition to make his team better and achieve that holy grail of winning the Champions League. So this summer, the signings that they made, Miralem Pjanic, Gonzalo Higuain, and Dani Alves, were specifically made with that intention to add that attacking impetus for Juve. There's no doubt that Juve probably have the best defense in the Champions League, but to win the Champions League, you probably need a combination of both. And the fact that Allegri has managed to make this happen for Juventus without even compromising their defensive stability is worthy of a lot of praise. And it was telling that in the semifinal against Monaco, Dani Alves had such a crucial role. 3 assists and 1 goal. So Juventus scored 4 goals across both legs against Monaco, and Alves provided 3 assists and 1 goal. Simply phenomenal performance. He brought that X factor in the box in the attacking third that Juventus probably have missed these past few seasons, and he's played a crucial role. Even his performance against Barcelona was outstanding, and he's played a crucial role in Juventus sort of navigating through these tough knockout matches, flawlessly conceding only 1 goal. Gonzalo Higuain, many people say he chokes on the big occasions. Even I actually think he does, but he scored 2 crucial goals in the first leg away from home. Can't ask for more. Superb performance. And Pjanic helped keep the ball so well. And then, of course, their defense, the legendary BBC, Bonucci, Buffon, Chiellini, and we can't forget Andrea Barzagli as well, was spectacular throughout. So a lot of credit for Juventus, and they really deserve to be in this final. For Zinedine Zidane, I think I've said this on the podcast before. It's almost a bit of a paradox, really, because Real Madrid can look vulnerable. But I'm going to repeat myself. This is something I said in a previous podcast. Is while Barcelona and Bayern Munich can look swashbuckling from minute 1 to 90 and look very dominant in their wins, when they concede, they start to get ruffled and they lose their composure. What Real Madrid do so well is that they're able to maintain their composure and they're able to ride out tough periods. They're okay with the opposing team having a period of dominance, but they never let their heads drop and they play so calm. They stay true to themselves, especially in midfield, and they manage to ride out storms. And then because of their amazing attacking threat, even against the best defenses in the world, you feel that it's only a matter of time that Real will score. And a lot of this comes down to the fact that Zidane trusts his players, and his players know that their manager trusts them. And that's why they're able to stay calm. They're able to express themselves even in the most difficult situations. For my money, I still don't think Zinedine Zidane has a clear idea of tactics. I don't think he clearly knows how to protect those vulnerable areas at Real Madrid. And maybe next season, if he's still there in the dugout, maybe some of those vulnerabilities will be exposed on a more consistent basis. But for now, his ability to look at situations calmly has transferred beautifully to his players. And guys, you know, sometimes we get lost in tactics when you think about it. You know, even the legendary Sir Alex Ferguson was never the sharpest mind tactically. But they're intangible sometimes that a manager has to transfer. And Zidane has done superbly. And that's why Real, also like Juventus, have deservedly made it to the final. A quick word on the two vanquished sides. I thought Atletico Madrid... Now, a part of me, when the draw was made, I thought because it's their last match at the Vicente Calderon, they're at home in the second leg, a part of me thought that maybe this might be the year that they might reverse this European hoodoo they have against Real Madrid. But in truth, looking at it logically, perhaps on the evidence of this season, this result is not a huge surprise, because this season, even in big matches, Atletico Madrid have performed very poorly. They haven't been able to beat Barcelona or Real in La Liga or in the Copa del Rey. They lost at home to both of them. And even in the second leg, you know, for those 15, 20 minutes when it looked like, hey, maybe a sensational comeback is on the cards, you found that even at 2-0, at about the 22, 23 minute mark, Real Madrid started orchestrating play. And you sort of felt that Atletico didn't have another gear to go despite that emotional high. And that's going to be the big challenge for Diego Simeone going into the new season, when Atletico are going to be at a new stadium. And we also have to consider the fact that there is an impending transfer ban this summer on Atletico. Now, Atletico have appealed to the Court of Arbitration for Sports, so maybe they won't have it. But if that ban is in place, how do Atletico evolve how do Atletico take the next step? That's a big question for Diego Simeone, because at times, unfortunately, without being too negative, because the truth is, folks, that with their resources, even Atletico finishing third and making the Champions League semifinals is a phenomenal achievement. But keeping that to one side, Atletico have looked a bit stale this season. One team that hasn't been stale and been a breath of fresh air for many neutral fans to watch have been Monaco. And I think, yes, Monaco lost 4-1 on aggregate, but in their own right, they played pretty well. You know, Buffon had to make two good saves in each leg. But ultimately, it's one thing scoring 6 goals against Manchester City over 2 legs and 6 goals against Borussia Dortmund over 2 legs. Those two teams, despite their attacking riches, are defensively flawed. Once they came up against a team with a solid defensive structure, I think Monaco got compromised on their own sort of defensive frailties. I thought in midfield, Bernardo Silva, Timoy Bakayoko played really well. Kylian Mbappe gave his best shot. Radamel Falcao kept Chiellini and Bonucci honest in both legs. But they simply fell short against a superior team. Now, there's a lot of talk that they'll be decimated this summer. I don't think, you know, there's going to be a mass exodus. I think Bernardo Silva is one of those players, after 3 very consistent seasons at Monaco, deserves a move. I don't think anyone's going to pay $100 million or 100 million euros for Kylian Mbappe just yet. And in fact, even Kylian Mbappe spoke very maturely, and the odds are he might stay one more season. Radamel Falcao, after 2 horrible seasons, came back to Monaco, reinvigorated himself. So why would he want to leave? So I only see maybe Bernardo Silva and one of Fabinho and Bakayoko being sold, which would still leave a pretty good core in this team. So I don't see this team being decimated. Will they make the semifinals of the Champions League again? Will they establish a league title challenge again? That's another matter altogether. But I think, despite what everyone's saying in the media, I think they'll be able to keep their core for at least one more season. And the way they very astutely played this summer's transfer market, when they signed Benjamin Mondi, Djibril Sidibe, and Camille Glick, they could certainly do something along the similar lines, especially from the sales of Bernardo Silva and one of Fabinho or Bakayoko. So those are my thoughts on the Champions League semifinals. After a quick break, I'll provide my thoughts on the Europa League semifinals. I guess it's safe to say that since the round of 32 draw was made for the Europa League, most observers thought that at the very least, Manchester United were going to make the finals of the Europa League. And as the competition has transpired, that's exactly what's happened. United had an, I guess you can say, interesting semi-final against Celta Vigo. They didn't do a lot in either match, home or away, but they got the decisive goal away from home. And you'd think with that cushion, United would express themselves at home, at Old Trafford, against what is, despite all the dangerous attackers, Spain's 12th best team. But in keeping with the theme of the season, United made things difficult for themselves, especially so at Old Trafford. There was an air of, yes, they were defensively solid for about 70 minutes, but in the last 20 minutes, there was an air of tepidity, even timidity, if one can say so. And once Celta got that goal, you felt if Celta got another one and they missed a golden opportunity, even with the last kick of the game, you could have made a case that maybe Celta deserved to go through. But United's experience and Mourinho's game management just about saw them through, although it was quite dicey. So, of course, United have underwhelmed this season. But now that they're in the final, if they win the Europa League and make it to the Champions League, I think Mourinho would be able to sell that to the Red Devils faithful as some kind of success. For Celta Vigo, they'll be heartbroken that, you know, they lost 2 cup semifinals this year by just a single goal. In the Copa del Rey, they lost to Alaves 1-0 and they lost 2-1 to Manchester United. But for a team of their resources to make two cup semifinals and a solid mid-table finish while playing unpredictable attacking football, I still think it makes for a great season. And with their defense, I guess it was always unlikely that they would eliminate Manchester United, but they did themselves a lot of credit. Now, who Manchester United are going to play in the final? I would have put my money on Lyon before the matches kicked off, but Ajax announced the arrival of a new young generation from this great club in a thrilling semi-final over Lyon. I just thought it was fantastic end-to-end football in both legs. In the first leg in Amsterdam, Ajax just blew Lyon apart, won 4-1. They probably could have won 8-1. And then in the first 40 minutes in the return leg in Lyon, they probably could have added another 4 goals. As it happened, they only added 1, which resulted in a very nervous second half, especially after Alexandre Lacazette got 2 goals just before halftime. And then Rashid Ghazal got a 3rd goal. But Ajax just about hung on and made it to the finals. They showed their inexperience in that second leg against Lyon. But the fact that in this competition already, they've beaten Schalke, Lyon, FC Copenhagen, who were very good in the Champions League, though many people may have forgotten that, speaks volumes about this team's tenacity and talent. And that front four of 19-year-old Kasper Dahlberg, who's got the most goals in the Europa League this season, Bertrand Traoré on loan from Chelsea, Amin Yunus and Hakim Ziyech, those four players are extremely exciting to watch. They all four of them can beat players with ease, while Dahlberg clearly has the best composure when it comes to finishing. So there's something really exciting over there. And I have to say, the idea of a Manchester United versus Ajax Amsterdam European final, okay, it's not the Champions League final, but the fact that that is European final is something to excite any football neutral, because these are two of football's great clubs. And it's great to see Ajax in a European final again, albeit the Europa League final. I think there's a sense of history. There's a sense of prestige with this final that everyone can look forward to. One quick word on Lyon. I think this result is in tune with their season, which has been defined purely by underachievement. And surely their manager, Bruno Genesio, I think has failed the club's mandate this season. They've not finished in the top three in Liga. They're so far behind Nice in third place. And with all the attacking talent that they have, it's just really been a disaster of a season. After they beat Roma, I thought that Lyon would be the only team to stop Manchester United. But the fact that they lost to such a young, inexperienced side like Ajax is really a black mark for the esteemed club. So let's see how the likes of Alexandre Lacazette, Nabil Fekir, Corentin Tolisso view their futures. But I would be really surprised if Lyon were able to hold on to their core, especially in attack, because a lot of these players have done a lot for the club without getting their due rewards. So it's going to be an interesting final. I think both European finals are going to be great. Real versus Juventus and United versus Ajax. We'll now have a quick break and I'll just end the show just quickly talking about some of the games that are going to decide the titles this weekend. Coronation time, folks. Coronation time. Starting with, in probably just a few hours after this podcast release, Chelsea are most likely to be crowned as champions of the 2016-17 Premier League season. They're away to West Bromwich Albion. Now, normally an away day game at the Hawthorns would be a potential banana skin, but the simple fact of the matter is that Tony Pulis' side have been on the beach since they reached 40 points, and even games that historically Tony Pulis has loved, West Brom simply haven't shown up in, and they've lost a lot of games home and away. Of course, the notable exception being Arsenal at home, which is no surprise that he managed to rouse his troops for his battle against Arsene Wenger. But I don't think Antonio Conte's men will have any issues winning at West Bromwich and crowning a very successful season. I'm going to save a lot of deep analysis of Chelsea's season for actually later, not on this episode, but I do think on the balance of play, they've deserved their success. I think Antonio Conte has done a fantastic job with the 3-4-3. There'll be a different set of challenges next season, but considering the rubble that they were in mentally last season, I think what Conte has done has been absolutely fantastic. So well-deserved to Chelsea. Another team that's probably going to be coronated on Saturday is Benfica, who are on the verge of winning their fourth consecutive Liga NOS or Premier League title, which is quite remarkable because it wasn't so long ago where Porto were consistently the top dogs in Portugal and seemed to have the mental edge over Benfica, but they've completely reversed that trend. And though I found Benfica's Champions League campaign quite underwhelming this season, what they've done domestically is worthy of a lot of praise, especially since they sold some crucial players. The fact that they've had another successful league season deserves a lot of praise. Then on Sunday, early in the morning in Holland, we've got Feyenoord at home, have a golden opportunity, at 1 point ahead of Ajax. It's the last round of games in the Eredivisie, and Feyenoord, as I've said previously, have not won the title since 1999. They have been the best team. That being said, there is that pressure. When you haven't won for so long, you don't know how to finish things off. There is that pressure, but they are at home. They're playing against Heracles, who've got nothing to play for. So you really think they should have enough in their tank to finish out the season successfully and win the title ahead of Ajax. Now, Ajax had a glorious campaign in Europe, as I talked about in the last segment. I think they'll be pretty tired, but they'll still rouse themselves, I think, to win against Willem II Tilburg. That's who they're playing against. But I think they'll fall short. And for the second successive season, they'll come up short, having a chance on the last day. But you never know how things go, but I think Feyenoord will go through. And then to finish off the weekend, and here in Canada and North America, actually, beIN Sports are doing this really cool thing. They're doing a league simulcast because these matches are all being played around the same time. First to kick off is Real Madrid. Real Madrid are playing Sevilla, and Barcelona are away to Las Palmas. Real Madrid are at home. Now, Las Palmas are a tricky opponent. You know, they have it in them to upset a big team. So Barcelona won't have it easy, although I think they should be able to overcome Las Palmas. And for Real Madrid, this is their last home game, but I also think this is their toughest game at home to fourth place Sevilla. Sevilla, who sort of had the wind taken out of their sails since that Champions League exit, but they're still going to finish a very respectable fourth and qualify for the Champions League, which probably was their most realistic objective at the beginning of the season anyways. They haven't qualified directly from the league in so long because, as you know, they've qualified by winning the Europa League in previous seasons. So it's still been a very good season. I don't see Real Madrid losing away either to Celta Vigo or Malaga. So if they're to trip up, it's going to be this weekend at home to Sevilla. So a key game kicks off first. 45 minutes later, Roma are hosting Juventus. Now, Juventus are 7 points clear, and there's another two rounds still to play. So even if Roma win this game, at best, they're just going to delay Juventus' coronation by a week because Juventus just need another 2 points to win the title. Probably the stakes are higher for Roma in that they want to keep hold of second place and automatic entry to the Champions League group stages because they're only a point ahead of Napoli. And Napoli have a tricky away game at Torino as well this weekend. So there's quite a lot riding on Juventus versus Roma. If Juventus draw, they'll win the title. So there's a big chance that that could happen this weekend. And then the last game to kick off is Monaco hosting Lille. And if Monaco win against Lille, they're going to complete a sensational campaign and win league ahead of PSG, which is simply a remarkable feat. So guys, lots of celebration in store this weekend. I'll probably aim to provide deeper analysis of each league's campaign as the weeks unfold and as we head to the close of the season. But for today, that's all for this episode of the Football Podcast with Wasim Perkar.